You probably say it to someone just about every day, but saying thanks is more than just a polite gesture. It's a lifestyle. So the question is, how well are you living it? Find out on this pre-Thanksgiving edition of Grace to You. You know, there's never been a more perfect situation than what the Garden of Eden offered, yet even there, Adam and Eve weren't content, and it's been a downward spiral ever since. So how about you today? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day here in the U.S. Are you able to recognize and be thankful for the blessings that God has given you? Or are you distracted by the things that you don't have, the dimensions of your life that, well, aren't ideal? Well, today on Grace to You, John MacArthur wants to help you step back and develop the perspective that God wants you to have, an attitude of thankfulness. That message in just a minute. But first, one of the principles John brought out in yesterday's lesson was that thankful Christians give generously. And with that in mind, John, I guess you could say this ministry is sustained by thankfulness, the thankfulness of men and women listening right now.
My dad used to say, Carl, you can give without loving. We do that all the time. It's called the IRS or whatever else. You can give without loving. You can give for a lot of reasons. But he used to say this, you can't love without giving. I did a Wall Street interview a couple of days ago, a Wall Street Journal interview. The reporter from the Wall Street Journal was doing a special article for the journal on Christian giving and tithing and all of that. And the question the reporter asked me was, how in the world do these ministries get people to give them their money? I guess if you're, you know, outside the church and you're just a guy or a gal living in the middle of the world and somebody comes along and says, give me your money, you would wonder why people would do that week in, week out generously. But they do, and the reason they do is because they love the Lord, love His Word, love one another, love the pastor, the shepherd, love the church, love the kingdom. Love the things that are everlasting and eternal. And we know that's why you give to this ministry, because you love the truth and because you're thankful for it. And this is a wonderful time of year for us to express that thankfulness, isn't it? We'd always rather say too little about the financial needs of this ministry than to say too much. And I hope we never do say too much. I hope you think it's always too little and we ought to be saying more. But we do remind you once in a while that the truth that comes through this ministry rides on your gifts and your faithfulness to us. We unleash God's truth one verse at a time because you make it possible, and we're thankful. Hope you enjoy our ministry today as we talk about thankfulness.
Thanks for your faithful support of Grace to You, especially at year's end. It's so important. And as Thanksgiving Day is approaching, John MacArthur reminds you that gratefulness is an attitude that we all need to cultivate. Here he is with today's lesson.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Thanks should be a part of our normal speech. Look at Ephesians 5. Do not let immorality, porneia, sexual sin, or any impurity, that's a word that would mean every other form of sexual sin, or greed, even be named among you as is proper among saints. And, verse 4, there must be no filthiness, dirty talk, no coarse jesting, that's a word for obscenities, no filthy talk, no foolish talk, no obscenities, which are not fitting, but rather, what? Giving of thanks. Boy, those two are far apart, aren't they? When you open your mouth, give thanks. Give thanks. I was in the home of Pastor Constantine in Belarus, and he had been in prison for many years. And
a godly, saintly man, pastor for many, many years. He's a great, great man of God. So I said to him, I said, you know, Constantine, I said, you've suffered and you've gone through all this and you went through the communist regime and the whole business. And what was it like? I mean, what kind of things did you suffer? And what do we need to know about that time? What do Christians need to know about that time? And he looked at me and he said, oh, no, he said. No, no, he said. I will only thank the Lord. I will not speak of such things. He wouldn't speak of them. He would just thank the Lord. That's all he would speak about. That is a marvelous thing. When you open your mouth and that's all that comes out is thanks. The Christian life is not nearly as complicated as some people think. It's just these attitudes that we've been talking about, practiced. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, you have an extended command that really says the same thing that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. It says in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, there was this ridiculous idea in the pagan religions that if you got drunk, your drunken stupor induced a higher state of consciousness in which you communed with the deities. It was that very same theory, by the way, that Timothy Leary borrowed from ancient religions and translated into the 50s drug culture. If you really want to transcend and touch the infinite, get high. Remember? That was really out of the old pagan religions. And instead of that, Paul says, you're not going to commune with God that way. Just be filled with the Spirit. And the result of that is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We could sum that up in one small word. What is it? Joy. And then verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Constantly, always giving thanks. That's what a Spirit-filled person does. They're characterized by joy and they're characterized by thanks. Now, thanksgiving is the normal pattern, and we should be in the Hallelujah Chorus thanking the Lord for His mercy in saving us. We should be thanking Him for all the blessings He pours upon us, for the way in which we can give and extend those gifts into the lives of others and cause more thanks. Thanks should come out of our mouth every time we open it. We should be thankful in everything, constantly, unceasingly, because the Spirit is controlling our life. And if He is, we will be. And when you're not thankful, the Spirit's not in control. You say, well, you mean to be thankful even for the difficulties? Of course, because those are the things working together for good. Those are the things that are perfecting. After you've suffered a while, 1 Peter 5:10, the Lord make you perfect. So we saw from James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials because they have a perfecting work. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 as we continue this little pilgrimage on this marvelous theme. It says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Just be thankful. Even when you're bringing up your petitions, even when you're praying and your supplications are going before the Lord, it ought to be in an attitude of total thanks. The Apostle Paul, always thankful. You say, well, there are a lot of things in life you can't be thankful about. Well, look, if I were Paul, there would be one thing I wouldn't be thankful about, and that would be a really messed up church that was a lot of trouble. And the one that comes immediately to mind is Corinth, right? Listen to what he said. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you. And that was just before he laid him out. See, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, but shouldn't mess with your thankfulness. You say, what was he thankful about? They were saved. They were God's own. Much to be thankful for, even though they broke his heart. So, this is very important. We are called to an inward, incessant joy and a constant thanks. The model for this, that I can't resist taking a minute to just show you this. The outstanding model for this, to transcends all others, of course, is our Lord. In Matthew 11, 25, just listen. Jesus answered and said, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." Jesus is approaching the cross, and this is what he says: "I praise you, O Father." Or actually, better translated, "I thank you, O Father. I thank you for the privilege of serving you." He had a thankful heart. It wasn't easy, obviously. He was going to go through agonies we would never be able to comprehend. But he had a thankful heart. You see it repeatedly. Pouring out thanks to God. We can't look at all of those times, but just another one maybe. John 11. In John 11, you know, he's dealing with the death of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And Jesus says to Martha, who's worried because Lazarus has been dead 4 days, and as the King James says, by now he stinketh. So verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone, and they were afraid this horrifying stench would come out. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me." And then he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came forth. You know, you wouldn't really think that Jesus would need to thank the Father for anything, since he was God, and since the plan was really equally his. But what a wonderful example it is. He thanked the Father for the privilege of ministry. He thanked the Father for hearing his prayer for power on behalf of Lazarus. He could even thank the Father for the death that he would die to redeem sinners. In fact, in all that was so terrible about his humiliation, he was thankful to the Father. Paul tells us then, back in our text, what we need to hear again and again: "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you." This is his will. There are some things that come into our lives that tend to cause us to be hindered in these right attitudes. Let me make some suggestions. If you have trouble being thankful, let me tell you perhaps why. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're deceived. Maybe you just think you've been regenerated. Maybe you had some emotional experience and nothing more. If you can't find in your heart an endless cause for thanksgiving, then maybe you don't have a new life. And maybe you ought to do as 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, moving beyond that, let me give you a second thing that can hinder your gratitude: doubt about God's sovereign power. Or let's say doubt about God. If you don't think God is really in charge, if you're ignorant about that or don't believe it, if you're not sure God is really all wise, if you're not sure he knows everything about everything, if you're not sure he really loves you as his own, If you're not sure He really has your best interest in mind, if you're not sure He's trying to perfect you into the image of His Son, if you don't understand your God and His purposes, then you may not be thankful. Or, I might add, if you do understand them, but you tend to forget them. Why not be thankful for anything if you know God's power is at work in it? God's wisdom is at work in it? God's purpose is at work in it? God's love is expressed through it? But if you doubt that, you're going to have a problem being thankful. There's a well-known counselor in our country who tells people that there are times when you need to get angry at God. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that he comes from an Arminian background where they're not too sure just exactly how involved God is. There are times when you need to get angry with God. It's good to vent that. It's a sin to do that. And it may rise out of ignorance of a sovereign God, always with a good purpose, for your good and His glory, and always in control. A third thing that may be the cause hindering gratitude is selfishness. And this links up so much with joy. It's that attitude that says, no matter what I got, I don't have what I really want. I don't have enough. I want more. And my will is more important than God's will. I don't know what God has for me, but I know what I want for me, and God ought to deliver. Boy, that'll really destroy gratitude. I want my circumstances different. I want my children different. I want my life different. I want my ministry different. I want my spouse different. I want my job different. I want a lot of things different. I want more of this and less of that. If that's what drives you, and you've set your own agenda, then you're going to have trouble. On the other hand, if you say, I only want what God wants and I'll believe that God will give me what He wants me to have, then you can be thankful, right? Fourthly, worldliness. Awful hard to sort yourself out from that in this culture. If you're into the pleasures and the people and the places and the possessions and the pursuits and the popularity and the prestige, and you just want all the stuff that the world says makes people satisfied and happy, you're going to have trouble being thankful because you're never going to have all that. And when you get some of it, you won't have enough of it. A fifth thing that I might mention is a critical spirit. If you're bitter or negative, if you just kind of have a sour attitude on life, and you know how you get that? You get that by having unrealistic expectations of what you deserve. You get that because you think you ought to control everything and there's some things you can't control and that bothers you. And you get that, and you know, this is the sad part, and then you feed it like a monster until it gets as big as a dinosaur. And every time you speak, or most of the time, the dinosaur roars because you've cultivated it. Don't let yourself be critical 2 days in a row or 2 hours in a row or 2 half hours in a row. Don't build that kind of habit. If it's unchecked, it'll just smash a thankful heart into bits. This attitude will corrode your love. It'll corrode your joy. It'll corrode your peace. It'll corrode your spirituality. A critical spirit that always criticizes, sees what's wrong with everybody else, what's negative, what isn't the way you want it, what isn't under your control? Always looking at things from the negative side is a terrible, terrible thing to do. And when you cultivate that habit, you get so into it, it becomes a monster to slay. A sixth hindrance to gratitude is impatience. Impatience. God isn't moving fast enough. It's not so much that they want this or that, it's that they want it now. They've got their own timetable. And the perception is that God's not on their schedule. They got it in their appointment book and He's not keeping the appointments. They want God to work for them when they want Him to work. Impatience. You need to learn to just be patient. Let God unfold His purposes in His time and be thankful that He knows better the timing than you do. I'll give you two more. Coldness. By that, what I mean is spiritual lukewarmness, lack of zeal for God, lack of diligence in the Scripture, lack of passion in prayer, lack of interest in worship, neglect of the Bible, wasting your time on trivia, spiritual lethargy, spiritual indifference. That produces a coldness and a lukewarmness that just kills gratitude. When you spend your time in the Word and you spend your time in prayer and you spend your time in worship and you spend your time in service to the King and the Kingdom, it excites gratitude. And one last point, I guess this would be number 8 if you're listing them. Rebellion. Rebellion. And this is the strongest attitude, I think, that mitigates against gratitude. And this is when you're in a settled state of outright anger toward God because things didn't go the way you wanted them. And it's become a settled state of rebellion. You are angry with God. I got a letter, an email, and it starts out, I just read through the stack today. This letter from a sweet lady from back in somewhere on the East, and she says, "Thank you for your ministry and radio, and my husband and I listened, and we loved Grace to You, and my husband had a job, and he felt through the listening to you and the development of ministry began to well up in his heart, and he decided God wanted him to preach, and so he went off and got into a small church," and you know, I'm reading, I'm saying, "This is wonderful, and this is a great story," and then something didn't go the way he wanted it to go, she said, in this small church, and it turned him bitter at God, and for 14 years he has not entered a church. 14 years. He is angry. And she said, "As a loving wife, I have prayed for him 14 years. She said, I'm at the end of my rope. Would you please pray for him, and if it's in your heart, write him a letter?" Well, I will. 14 years of rebellion against God. Would you like to live with a thankless person like that in a constant state of rebellion? That woman must be some woman. She's patient. Now, all of that stuff, all of that doubt, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit, impatience, coldness, rebellion, all of that is sin. Sin. That man should have said, "What was God saying to me? What was He trying to show me? What could I have learned? And how can I praise Him and thank Him?" And the reason he's been in that condition for 14 years is the reason he'll stay there. It's because he's got such a bitter attitude toward God, and until he deals with that sin, he can't be used. All this kind of stuff, ingratitude just destroys the church. You want to have a church full of joy and blessing and happiness and peace, where people love each other and the church grows and flourishes, then have a church full of thankful people. And if you want to really mess up a party, just bring in somebody who's negative and unthankful. Watch out for those hindrances. Don't let them get cultivated in your life. We have so much to be thankful for, beloved. God's holiness that makes Him perfect and He never makes a mistake. God's goodness and mercy, which is always available, which is overflowing and abounding toward us. The gift of Jesus Christ, that unspeakable gift for which we are thankful. All good gifts that flow down from the Father of lights. Victory over sin and death. Divine guidance. Complete provision for all our needs. The hope of heaven. The power of the Word. And on and on, on and on we go. Lots of reasons to give thanks. And if the church is to be the church of Jesus Christ and His life is to flow through that church, it'll be people who are filled with gratitude, even for the trials, even for the pain, even for the suffering. And my prayer is that God will fill your heart with joy, no matter what, and that you'll rejoice always and in everything give thanks. That's crucial to the life of the church. And you can do it on the basis of this one little verse in Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work in you. Isn't that great? And what's he doing? To will and to work for his good pleasure. And since he's at work in you, using all this stuff to work for his own good pleasure, the next verse says, you can do all things without grumbling. You can do all things with joy and gratitude.
That's John MacArthur wrapping up this Thanksgiving Eve edition of Grace to You. And hopefully you've been encouraged today to set aside some time to thank God for His Son and your relationship with Him. And looking past Thanksgiving to the next big holiday, as you think about Christmas gifts for your loved ones, you'll find a number of items, including the MacArthur Study Bible, in the Grace to You online catalog. Go there today and pick a gift with lasting spiritual value. Our website is gty.org. That's gty.org. You can request a free printed catalog when you write to us at Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call us at the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE. Now, our staff will be enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday just as you like we will and be out tomorrow and Friday. But remember, you can place an order even while they're out of the office. Dial the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE or go online to gty.org. The MacArthur Study Bible, our bestseller, costs $35 in hardcover or $65 for top-grain leather. Choose either the New American Standard Translation or the New King James Version. And there's a large print study Bible also available in both translations. Order your copy of the MacArthur Study Bible online at gty.org or by calling 1-800-55-GRACE. By the way, if you're benefiting from this radio broadcast, you do have a role to play. We're listener-funded. Our outreach in English and Spanish depends on people like you. And your support is especially important as the year is winding down. Thanks for standing with us. The mailing address again, Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. For John MacArthur, thanks for listening. Please be back for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, His Thanksgiving Truth, one verse at a time, on tomorrow's Grace to You. How can you be content no matter what? Is that even a realistic expectation? John MacArthur shows you the biblical truth about contentment tomorrow on the next Grace to You.